Been playing with the April Fool's theme this month. Paul gets run out of Thessalonica, and he's the only Christian where he ends up in Athens, right? And where he ends up then is McDonald's. People arguing about and debating the things of the day. He joins that group. And then he goes, I know something you don't know. And that's what Keith talked about last week, with this statue to the unknown God. And Paul gets to go to this think tank where people are debating religion and philosophy and poetry and all that other cool stuff. And he literally pulls out the, I know something you don't know. I know who the unknown God is. Last week, after the walk was over, we went to this really cool taco place, and Starbucks was right across the way. So I accidentally went in there, then I came back, and I was like, where did I go? They were around the corner at the Jackalope store, where you could buy jackalope stuff, and I bought a stuffed jackalope for my granddaughter that Pookie ate. And I bought her an Oklahoma lunchbox, she'll never know, and bought her an Oklahoma lunchbox, and I saw coffee mugs, and I thought, this is it. This is how I'm going to mark my trip to Oklahoma. Here I am, downtown Oklahoma City, and I grabbed the mug, and it said, Oklahoma is my happy place. And I looked at it, and I yelled in the middle of the store with all my new friends around. I went, lies! Oklahoma is not my happy place. The gals start cracking up because they had bought me a towel that said, Oklahoma is my happy place. I thought they were just laughing at me. They thought it was ironic. It is now hanging in my house. But understand this. At one point, the day before the walk, so Friday, a week ago Friday, over 300 acres of western Oklahoma were on fire. And they shut down every road leading west from Oklahoma City. To the north, they had a massive blizzard that suddenly came out of nowhere. They shut the highways down. To the south, they had tornadoes. They shut the highways down. And to the east, they had massive thunderstorms and announced, we're shutting the highways down. And I thought, I'm never getting out of this godforsaken state. It was on fire. God was like, I'm done with you people. Bloom! Oklahoma's my happy place. Lies, where's your happy place? Do you have one? Let me preach for just a second. If God is not your happy place, you're not in a happy place. Because here's the difficulty. We have things that happen in our lives that lead us to not be happy. And on the way back, eventually got out of that state. On my way back, I listened to a podcast of a guy by the name of Joe Barksdale. Let me make sure I got that right. Joe Barksdale is 6'5", 326 pounds. And he is an offensive tackle for the Los Angeles Chargers. Dude is amazing. He released his first album, and he was talking about the therapeutic nature of his music. Here's the thing that I found interesting about Joe. He talked about the depression that he has dealt with almost his entire life. And the reason he decided to do the album with music is because for the fourth time, he tried to commit suicide. 6'5", 326, multi-millionaire, playing in the NFL. And for the fourth time, he tried to end his life. And we so don't understand, and we refuse to accept, depression. And he began talking about it, and here's where, when they asked, where did it all begin? You know where he said it began? With his parents. His mom wanted a girl. So for all of his life, when he was introduced by his mom, this is my son, but I really wanted a girl. I'm telling you, when I hear parents do that, I get so mad. We don't understand what it does to the psyche of these kids. To his dad, you would think, 6'5", you're playing the other ball. You are my retirement. Thank you. I love you. Right? Dad used to complain all the time about the size of his son. He said that to my dad, I was not a child, I was an expense. Oh, we spend so much money on food. Oh, we spend so much money on clothes. Right? Oh, we can't do anything. Look how tall he is. And he felt beat down by his dad. Listen to this statement from Joe. I had parents that made me feel like an expense more than their child. I felt like a pet they really didn't want. And Paul, in our story of him going through this town and looking at all these statues and seeing the statue of the unknown God that Keith talked about, then he goes, I know something you don't know. He is about to drop the line that for some of us, when we hear it, we go, I want nothing to do with God. We are God's children, and He is our Father. Because our earthly fathers can ruin the reality of who God is. And He is about to drop the God is our Father line. And it makes me wonder with Joe Barksdale, I know the answer to what he needs. Could you imagine if I walk up to him, by the way, 316, and I walk up to him and I say, hey, listen, let me tell you about God, your Father. What's his response? Right? And what do we do with that when we're like, no, God loves you, he's your Father, but our earthly father is a dope. It is not what you want to hear about God. But Paul is going to continue the story, and he goes, there's one thing that changes the entire dynamic, that no matter how dopey your earthly dad was, and I've shared with you before, I have two regrets in my life. I wish I could be a better husband. I wish I could be a better father. Right? Those are my two regrets in life. It drives me. It motivates me. So in that reality, if I'm the dopiest dad around, what is the one thing that my kids can do that will change their view of God being their father? Paul's about to tell us. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17, or tap that app. If you don't know where the book of Acts is in your Bible, find that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John stuff, and it's the very next book, chapter 17. And remember, Paul is in this think tank. He's just having a discussion about religion and philosophy and all that other stuff. He says, here's the challenge in verse 29. We redesign God to fit what we want. He says this in verse 29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, there it is. He dropped it. We should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone. All these statues and temples and everything. An image made by human design and skill. Paul is saying, you've got to decide that idols and statues are not the answer. There's nothing divine about these temples or these statues. And here we are in America when I say there's nothing divine about this building. I asked the Tuesday morning small group, what's the name of this building that we meet in? Oh, that's the church. We say that. We're Americans. We, as people, are the church. This is a building where we meet. And I understand what you're saying. Well, this is God's house. Okay. He's here when we are here. We are God's house. I am God's mega church, right? I have gone through an expansion project. I have added to the fellowship hall, right? That's how much I love God. So we are the building. Paul literally could drop that on us and go, shame on you guys. We are God's church. He said, there's nothing divine about these idols and these statues, especially, he says, to the one, to the unknown God. And he warns them that God cannot be redesigned to meet our needs. Listen, if we're discussing something about God and you say to me, well, this is what I think about God, I'm going to go, well, okay, stop. And you should do the same thing for me. The reality of who God is has nothing to do with what I feel God is. It has nothing to do with what you think God is. God is God, regardless of what you think about him or what you feel about him. Guys, listen, it's really, really simple. Hanging out with friends the other day, and something came up on the TV as we're just kind of sitting watching, and I hate watching the news with people, and they said, oh, this is what I was taught in church when I was growing up. And I went, whoa? But this is how I feel about it. And I went, eh. I do not care about how you feel about it. No matter what the topic is, it matters what God says, not what we feel about it. This is what God says matters more than this is what I feel. So churches argue about music and about buildings and about pastors who are annoying because they go away for a week and then tell stories about their trip. We debate all these things because this is what I feel is important. Speaking of going on trips, I was in Cody, Wyoming a number of years ago, 5 o'clock in the morning. Not even God's awake, because God is light, it was dark. The local coffee shop opened, and I'm nose to the door. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Because I had walked from the hotel I was staying at, and I walked in, there's some college girls are getting everything ready and all this other stuff, and I look out of the corner of my eye, and there's a little statue of Buddha. Now, I got to warn you, young me would have been offended. Oh, as a Christian, I cannot be in here. And I'm like, where's the coffee? Now, you know, I walk up and I say, girls, you need to understand something. I'm incredibly offended by that statue. And they froze. And I said, how dare you use my likeness without my permission? Buddha, big fat guy. What's wrong with saying to people, guys, that's nothing but a little bit of clay thrown together? There is nothing spiritual about that. If you think that's cool, I got something better for you. We don't have to design God to fit what we think our image is of God, because we are His children, Paul says. Does that change how we view God? Now look at verse 30. He says, there's one thing we got to do if we're God's children. Here's that one thing I told you about. Repent. And if you think that because you're a baptized believer, you don't need to repent, you need to repent of thinking you don't need to repent. It is the one thing that we must do that will change our view of who God is. Verse 30, in the past, Paul says, God overlooked such ignorance. Phew! When I cared more about a building than a person, or a statue than a person, or the reality of who God is. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now, He commands. Only non-Christians, right? All people. In case we missed that, Paul goes, everywhere. Thank you for the redundancy, Department of Redundancy, Paul. All people everywhere to repent. Now listen, I am so thankful that God is willing to overlook my past. People keep telling me I should write a book about my life. You do not want to know, right? There's no way. I am so glad that God used to overlook my ignorance. Did you notice that? Because sometimes we live this idea that repentance is about, I screwed up. Who doesn't? All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who cares? Right? Now God commands us to repent. We intentionally recognize that God is our Father, then God overlooks our past. My way leads to death. God's way leads to life through eternal family. Had a conversation with somebody out in Oklahoma who said to me after the walk, we don't understand you. And I'm like, there's a club. You could probably join a club that does not understand me. They said these words, we can't figure you out because you have a lot of fun and you're fun to be around, but you don't drink. And I said, would you like to know why? Because I have life. I have life to the fullest. I have abundant life. And by golly, I will show non-believers and believers that are dopes that you can have fun in life and you don't have to drink alcohol. You don't have to. You can if you want to, but you don't have to have fun. My way leads to death. God's way leads to eternal life. All right, so here's the last thing, verse 31. The great thing about recognizing who God truly is and then repenting, this is the part that I love, we get to rise. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. Still hasn't mentioned Jesus' name, by the way. Oh, but He's talking about Him. God has given proof of this to everyone. By doing what? Raising Him from the dead. We don't have to create God in our image. God created us in His image, and man, it is awesome. When we repent, we rise just as He did. We were dead, now we're alive. Are you tired of life letting you down? Are you tired of, this is my happy place because I just have to numb the pain. Verse 31 tells us that when we recognize who God is and we repent of our sins, He will rise us up from where we are. Or, verse 31, you get to be judged for being dumb. Well, I didn't know. And God's going to go, yes, you did. No excuse. Guys, we need to repent to see God clearly, or we get judged for being dumb. Will you be the person that gets judged for being dumb, or will you rise with the risen one? Speaking of rising, let's stand together and sing our closing song. And as we do, maybe your earthly dad has let you down. Maybe I have let you down representing God. Ask me to repent of that. Let's talk about it. You come up here. If your family has just destroyed your view of who God is, your church family will help you see Him clearly. Let's be a people this morning that repents. This will be our song of repentance, recognizing how much we need You. May we be a people that's known for repenting. Sorry when we get it wrong. We've attracted people to ourselves or to this building or to something instead of You. Thank You for rescuing us, God, and being the one that is so much bigger and better than what we've made You out to be. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen.